26. Jesus prayed for his disciples, and then he said, I ask not only on behalf of these, his disciples, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, the words of the disciples, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory which you have given me because you loved me before the foundations of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. And it's interesting that you only have three pronouns in this particular passage of Scripture. You, me, them, the believers, with God the Father and God the Son. And Jesus is saying that his disciples know him and know who he is because they have seen the Father in Jesus. And Jesus has made known to them the name of God. Now, it's interesting. There are some religions in the world, Judaism is one of them, that the name of God is so secret and so sacred that it cannot be uttered. Others believe that the name of God is totally unknown. If you were to say the name of God, that name which is above all names, if you were to say the name of God, that it could destroy the whole world. That's how powerful the name of God is. Even when I am texting or writing to my Jewish friends, and I ask for God's blessing in their lives, I write G_D, because they do not even though God is not the name of God, they don't even write out the name G-O-D, because that's how much they revere God, that they won't even write his name out. They will leave a little space between the G and the D. And so, but the Word of God tells us that Jesus has revealed the name of God. Amen? And of course, we've already studied, it's been a while, we probably need to study again, the covenant names of God. And so, Jehovah Jireh, my God, my provider. Jehovah Tsidkenu, my God, my righteousness. Jehovah Rapha, my God, my healer. Alright, these are all covenant names that God has used to reveal himself to his people. But what Jesus is saying, he's getting ready to leave. This is it. This is the end of it. It's just like this part in Revelation where Jesus, the ascended Jesus, is speaking to John in this vision about heaven. And, it's the name of Jesus. It's at the name, and if you have this name, then open and available to you are all the blessings of heaven. And I just want to end up today's message with the concept, How does this world see God in us? All right? Now, we learned about that, the one church was the place where Christians were first called Christians, and which means, in the Greek, little Christs. When they saw the believers there living their everyday life, they said, that's Christ. That's a little Christ. That's a child of Christ. That's, all right, and that's great. That's lovely. Unfortunately, in our world, there's a whole lot of people who claim to be God's children, who claim to be Christians. And not that I call myself a fruit inspector by any means, but I look at some of their lives and I say, I can almost guarantee that no one has looked at this person's life and said, I need to be a believer. I have looked at this person who proclaims themselves to be a child of God, and if that's what it's like to be a child of God, that's what I want. There's not too many people out there like that. Amen? And what John is writing here in John chapter 17 is Jesus is telling us that the secret is, do they see the Father in you like you have seen the Father in me? Jesus is asking. Because whom you spend time with, or whomever you spend time with, will be the one whose actions and behaviors you assimilate. Amen? Now, in the Climby family, we have a birthmark. And you can't see it on me because it's under my hair back here, all right? But when each of my children were born, I said, that's a Climby. Not that there was ever any doubt, okay? But that's a Climby because that birthmark is there. They physically carry that birthmark, and it's in our grandchildren. All right? That birthmark is passed down from generation to generation. It's something genetic. But more important than a genetic birthmark, something that shows up where it can be hidden, is the way that you act. And when it's so interesting to see little children before they've gone off to school, because there they're seeing how mom acts and how dad acts. They have, when they're very little, they just have two role models, don't they? Mom and dad. Hopefully mom and dad are there. Amen. And so they try to emulate the actions of mom and dad. And so we have some pictures of Dale Timothy when he's 2 years old. And I would come home, I went to school during the day, carried a bunch of credit hours during the day, then I worked second shift in the shop, and came home, got 6 hours of sleep, and did it all over again. And so in the winter time up there in Grand Rapids, Michigan, I came through that front door, and I put my lunch bucket down, I took my work boots off, no boots in the house, and I had my little stocking cap that I wore, and I would put that on top of my boots, and I would go clean up and jump into bed. And it's 12:30, and I'm ready to go to bed, and it was so cute. The picture was taken on a Saturday morning when I didn't have to get up and rush off to school or to work, and here's little Dale Timothy. He had gotten out of bed, and he put Dad's stocking cap on, and he had my boots on that went all the way up to his legs. I mean, I've just covered it. And he had my lunch bucket. I hadn't had a chance to clean it out yet. And there he is with those work boots, just trying to shuffle his way across the living room floor, because he was dressed like Dad. Yeah. Amen? All right? And ladies, how many times did you, as little girls, or if you had daughters that would sit and watch you when you were putting on your makeup? Like Susie Q used to say, putting on her sticky lips. And ladies are putting on your faces, as some of those guys say, when you're not hearing, when you're not listening. All right. And the little girls sit there and they say, look what mama is doing. Alright. Then it's really hard to get mad at them when you hear, oh, I haven't heard the girls lately, and you walk into the back room and they've got that lipstick all over the place and the blue all over here and the blushes all over here and all that good stuff, and you really want to do something to them, but it is just so sweet that they want to be like mama. Amen? Why? Because that's the only two people they have in their life. They want to be like their mommy and daddy. Well, guess what? The world needs us to be like our Heavenly Father. How can that be? There's only one way. For us to do, and this is part of what God has done that is so lost in all the hustle and bustle and theology of church, is that God gives. That's His nature. Jehovah Jireh, my God, provides. That's what He does. He has always provided. He provided the perfect environment for His creation in the Garden of Eden. He provided a simple 10 item list. You do these things. Gave it to Moses. Do these things. Everything's going to be cool. Oh, we had to mess that up. And 613 things, it turns out being, but that's beside the point. He has always been providing access to Him, providing access to blessings, providing a way to eat, a way to live, a way to have shelter. He provides. Jehovah Jireh, my God, provides. Amen? That's what Father does. We as husbands that have, you know, gone out, what do? We work all of our lives doing what? Providing for the family. A lot of ladies do the same thing, going out and providing for the family. Why? It's what we do. We've got to go out and do so that our family can be blessed. We're working our lives so that the family is blessed. And that, in a nutshell, is Father God. His whole existence has been based on how can I bless my creation. Even hell. It's so interesting that not every time, but when God is talking about hell, it says, and be thrown into hell, which was prepared for the devil and his angels. God didn't make hell for human beings. Never intended hell to be occupied by human souls. Hell was created for the fallen angels. That's what hell was provided for. God didn't intend it, but, you know, works fine if you decide for some ungodly and unknown reason that you don't want what God has provided for you. Well, there's got to be some place to go if that's the kind of decision that you have made. But God has given His life to provide for His family. And so when the world sees us, what does it see us doing? Does it see us giving of ourselves or taking unto ourselves? And I mentioned a few weeks ago when we were in Moralton, Arkansas, and sitting in the soda shop, and Carrie and I were having chocolate shake or whatever, and we saw this out-of-state car, and the girl was sitting sideways, doors open in the car, she's sitting sideways in the car, and she is just crying her eyes out. And Terry said, I've got to go see what's wrong. What do you mean you've got to go see what's wrong? That God in her motivated Terry to get up and go see what was wrong. They were coming back from a funeral. The car had broke down. It was a brother and sister. And the car is broken down. He's a car mechanic, but he doesn't have his tools. He doesn't have a place to work on it. And what are they doing? They're here in Moralton, Arkansas, one of the most forsaken places in the world, home of the Conway County Sheriff's Department, the most corrupt sheriff's department in the United States. Oh, yeah. And all it was, people from Chicago said, ooh, Conway County, Lord have mercy, stay away from it. Conway, I was on the sheriff's department in Conway County. Conway County was so bad, we couldn't tell other sheriff's department that we were with the sheriff's department in Conway County. They'd lock us up just for spite. Okay? I mean, that's how bad Conway County was. I worked for the county judge, so I wasn't with those other guys. But anyhow, you know, so here we are. And Terry, through the love of God, goes out and talks to the girl. The girl shares her heart to Terry. This is what the situation is. They come and get me. Now I get involved. Yeah. You'll see the love of God in me when somebody drags it out of me, okay? No. So I get involved. All he needs is a place to work and some tools. So we took him home with us. And I had the guy that serviced our vehicles who lived just a couple miles from us. I talked to him, and he said, sure, he can use our tools. He can use one of our bays and, you know, get his car fixed and be on his way. And so they were with us for, you know, 3 or 4 days, something like that, not very long. And off they went. We never heard from them again. They went to church with us. Amen. They went to church with us. Hopefully, they heard the good news of Jesus. Hopefully that seed was planted and a time of disaster, a time of loss, a time of frustration was turned into an opportunity for God's will. Amen? I'm not telling you that story because look how good Terry and I are, because all of us, when we're moved by the Holy Spirit of God, can do exactly the same thing. But folks, that's what will bring people to Jesus when they see God's kids acting like God. Not the kind of God that is judgmental. There are too many people like that. No, but acting like God when they're giving of themselves. Because that's what Father God does. He gives. Amen? For God so loved the world that He gave. Amen. And so, I just want you to think in this coming week, as we're walking up and down the hallways, or maybe going up and down the aisles in the grocery store, wherever you may be, just be thinking of looking for an opportunity where we can say, how can I let someone see the giving nature of the Father in me? Whether it's simply holding a door for somebody, simply getting something off a shelf that's too high for some, whatever it is, to go outside of yourself, to go outside of your comfort zone, and to let someone else get a glimpse of the Father when they look at you. Can we do that? I think we can. We're going to have to go outside of our comfort zone because we're all, you know, we're all kind of like that. Somebody strange comes up, starts getting too close to me. I say, whoa, wait a second. I'm not comfortable being this close. We all have our little comfort zone. Unfortunately, you can't bless too many people if you just stay within your comfort zone. You have to put yourself out there. And God, Father God, is the perfect example of that. What did Jesus pray on the night before? Father, let this cup pass from me. If it's all possible, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Was going to the cross kind of outside of Jesus' comfort zone? Oh, you could say that. Amen? That's what He was willing to do for us. Now, what are we willing to do for God by letting His love and His provision shine through us? And it's little things. It's insignificant things. Amen. I was in line at the deli to get something to eat, and there was a guy there, and his credit card wasn't working. And he was getting a whole, $3 worth of something. And I just waved at his, "All right, just put it on my tab." And, "Oh, okay, thank you." And the guy took off, and I said, "You can repay me by going to church." Okay, all right. But, it cost me $3 to show God's love to this person. And I have found that when there's a financial sacrifice, that tends to get somebody's attention, because we don't like letting go of our money. All right? Amen. But if $3 will make this guy's day, and he can be on his way, and I could have planted a seed in his heart about this is how my Father blesses, and as my Father blesses, so I bless. So Father God, we thank you. We thank you.